This is New England Public Radio. I'm Carrie Healy. We continue our week-long series on a Western Massachusetts effort to address trauma in the community. Today, an elementary school in Berkshire County is trying to create a kinder environment, and not just for kids under stress. New England Public Radio's Karen Brown has this report.
Have a good day, guys.
Other than its bucolic setting in the Berkshire Mountains, Lee Elementary seems like any other public school, if the morning announcement is any indication.
Today's lunch is turkey taco salad, fruit and milk. Applications for the talent show.
But there are some unusual touches, like posters of a 5-point scale. They're all over the building. Each number corresponds to a mood, with a smiley or frowny face. And when students enter a room, they'll tap the number that reflects their mood.
If you're 3 or above, you need to seek help from an adult.
As Principal Kate Retzel explains this approach towards stressed-out kids, she gets a call on her walkie-talkie that illustrates the point.
Kate, I could use a hand if you got a minute.
Sure, where are you located?
They've got a runner, a kid's trying to leave the building.
I say it's the full moon.
Lunar cycles aside, Retzel is not surprised a child is worked up before classes even begin. Despite the many arts and tourist venues of Berkshire County, rates of unemployment, poverty, and opioid abuse are rising. That's why Retzel has spent the last year trying to turn Lee Elementary into what's called a trauma-informed school. The goal is to train the whole staff to be attuned to stress in children's lives.
People who have been around education for a long time thought it was all behavior-based, just this, it was all a choice. But now that we know that it's all brain-based, we know that there are things that we can do.
She got this idea in part from a campaign called Trauma-Informed Berkshires, which is aimed at the entire community, from police to libraries to educators. But before Retzel even heard the term trauma-informed, she knew something in her school had to change.
About 2 years ago, we had, I wouldn't call it an uprising, I'd call it like a grassroots effort by teachers who were seeing an increase in behaviors.
More children were getting upset and unruly, and traditional discipline wasn't working.
So they were wreaking havoc on classrooms because they couldn't focus. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, mom in jail, and I'm trying to learn ABCs, or, you know, I'm thinking of dad had to be taken to the hospital last night for an OD.
So she hired a consultant to help change the school's culture.
So basically, teachers started looking at not just curriculum, but ways to infuse compassion into the day.
Okay, hands down. Let's switch gears to what we started.
To demonstrate, we visit Jessica Pollard's second grade class. Each morning, students are encouraged to write down their darkest thoughts or fears.
Right now, please read what you wrote down to yourself and then choose one of the options.
Options are throw the page away, keep it, or rip it out of your journal and leave it on the teacher's desk.
How does this help? Who would like to share?
So we can get rid of our worries and not worry.
Retzel, the principal, says several students in this class have witnessed domestic violence. Two have diagnoses of PTSD. Some have parents in jail.
Come right back to your regular spot.
After the journal writing, the teacher takes them through a few mindfulness exercises.
Okay, so we're going to blow up our balloon. Ready? Take a deep breath. Push it down and blow out.
Only then does she bring up the lesson.
Raise your hand if you're ready for math. Three-digit addition and subtraction today.
As we leave the classroom, the teacher hands Retzel a few journal entries left on her desk.
So these are the ones they're willing to share. I'm worried about when my mom dies and when I die. On the weekend, my cat died. My guess is she's going to check further into that student for the day.
Many changes at the school are not obviously about trauma, and that's the point. They're meant to help the entire student body cope with everyday stress. So there's new seating.
There's a stool that rocks.
Lessons in self-esteem.
I make mistakes.
And frequent brain breaks.
Blink your eyes quickly. Blink, 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 blink.
It took a little convincing, but over time, the teachers realized that if you take 15, 20 minutes out of your day to do stuff like that, you're going to prevent the 15 or 20 minutes it's going to take you to have to deal with an escalation.
Since the school has gone trauma-informed, even mental health professionals are changing how they interact with children. Before, school psychologist Rachel Widrick would mostly give tests and assessments. Now she forms relationships.
So Mason, you
I'm gonna sit next to Mason or Darren.
Okay, well then Darren will come sit by me, right, Darren?
Several fourth graders have just shown up in Widrick's office of their own accord to eat their lunch and play the card game Uno.
Three. Four.
How's it going today?
Not good.
Oh, what's going on?
I got four strikes.
Oh,
you got four?
They have such adult worries, some of them. Money. Who's picking me up? How am I getting home? Can I do these after-school activities? Can we afford this?
And while much of the kids' home stress is invisible to teachers, some isn't. About half the school qualifies for free or reduced lunch, which is one proxy for poverty. Diane Noventi is the school nurse.
I saw a significant number of kids that would come to school hungry, coming to my office, headaches, belly aches.
At least this they can address directly. As an after-school program, students and staff put together food kits to send home with families for the weekend.
There was a time in my family that my mom didn't have a job and we didn't have a car, and so we didn't have food for a while.
This sixth grader is both a volunteer with the program and a recipient.
When the first time that my family got a box of food, my mom cried because she was so happy that we were going to be able to make good dinners that week with the stuff that we got, and then we got stuff to make a tuna casserole. And
while the student was telling me her story, one teacher had to leave the room. She later said it was too painful to hear. And in fact, several staff members say grief has become part of the job. School counselor Heather Lucy sees addiction, incarceration, and mental illness.
I love my job, but there are some days where I am absolutely drained because of the things that I've heard or helped a family through.
And she doesn't always get support outside the school for what they're doing. She may refer families to counseling services in the community, but wait lists can be months long.
Providers change, providers switch, there's turnover. You know, the wait is really hard, and that frustration will build, you know, in a family.
Principal Kate Retzel has learned to accept that schools alone, however trauma-sensitive, are not a panacea. They struggle with budgets, with standardized tests. But even if schools can't make up for society's problems, Retzel says they can give children some tools to cope with them.
When I see a kiddo who can trudge through a day despite what's going on outside of their life, I always say, geez, I'd love to bottle that. You know, so I can give it to some kids who don't have enough. But I do think we are building this generation of kiddos who are more accepting of struggle, more knowledgeable about, you know what, I'm not a bad person, my brain is reacting to something, and this is how I can calm myself.
And if the school succeeds with this generation, there could be less trauma in the next one. For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.